Shame is such a powerful emotion, so strong that it can trigger the body's shutdown response. According to Dr. Stephen Porges, this is because the body interprets shame in the same way that it interprets another strong emotion. But when the body does start to shut down, Stephen uses a practical strategy to disrupt it.
Shame to me is a very interesting emotion or feeling because not everyone feels it. And for a lot of people, it basically determines how they live their life and how they try to protect their body from the feelings that are associated with shame, literally building a whole set of protective mechanisms. But when people talk about shame, to make sure we're on the same page, I always ask them one simple question. Where are they feeling it in their body? So I actually have had discussions with some of the people that you're talking to on this webinar series, and I was actually surprised that some of them use the word shame in a way that's not visceral, not bodily feelings. Yet when you talk to people who really experience shame and it becomes debilitating, they're feeling it. And if you ask them where in the body they feel it, it's going to be below the diaphragm. So it has physiological responses that are very similar to life threat. And that becomes the critical issue, that when our body gets challenged with words or feelings and we try to disappear. So shame has this whole effect on many people. They want to disappear. They don't want to be there. And this is very much may lead into dissociation and other sets of issues.
Do you find that people always know that they feel shame?
I think the word is when we start using psychological constructs to describe bodily feelings, we're in, it's an abyss. We're in an area where not everyone has the same labeling mechanisms or labels for the feelings that they have. And the issue, if you start thinking of things more in both a evolutionary and a neural physiological model, you start thinking about adaptive responses and the association of some of those adaptive responses with situations. So if the issue of the initial shaming or being shamed is associated with a desire, a physiological reflex, literally, not a voluntary desire, but a bodily response to get out of there, to disappear, to become invisible, to shut down, to dissociate, become the subsequent effects. But if shame is such a potent stimulus that the individual doesn't want to be in that setting, it triggers a physiological response of shutting down. And that's very, very primitive. So the question you're asking me is, I think people feel this issue of marginalization, becoming invisible, losing sense of their body, losing sense of others, not wanting to be there. And sometimes this carries the word shame. But the real part that I want to say is that when someone feels shame, they lose their ability to have voluntary behaviors. So that's the other important aspect, because it's hitting subdiaphragmatically. It's hitting the organs below the diaphragm. And when they get hit as a defense response, we're immobile. We're immobilized. So the common theme that I seem to find in people who describe shame to me is this lower bodily feeling and the inability to move. I actually think it's this initial association with a immobilization response. So the first response is like a baby or a child being yelled at by a larger person. And so fight or flight is not an option, and the body often reflexively responds by shutting down, dissociating, disappearing. Features that people in attachment theory often call disorganized attachment, features of dissociation when people are older. And then you start building associations. So you start having, in a sense, higher brain association with these very low core biological responses. And then you're into a sequence that is very difficult to break. Because if you try to get the person to, in a sense, experience the shame and shift the context of it, once they hit that physiological response associated with the shame, they're not in contact anymore. Now, your question is really an important one, because there are two things that I don't feel to the extreme that a lot of people feel. And this is, so we have to always kind of use ourselves as a laboratory. I may have discussed this with you in previous talks, that social anxiety is really not what I feel. I don't feel a lot of it. You know, I can get anxious, but so public speaking is always fun. But there are other people, when they get into that setting, their body falls apart. So the whole notion of social anxiety is different for me. And the dimension of shame, which immobilizes many people, the issues of things that I may have done that I'm not proud of, things I may have memories of, are not immobilizing to me. So I have, in a sense, a tempered concept of shame within my own bodily feelings. But I've talked to a lot of people, and shame is the critical core vulnerability that they have. And they just will. Everything's about protecting the whole features related to shame. They don't even want to go near it. So the answer is, I think there's great variation. And I think it may start earlier in life, and maybe whether it was associated with a profound bodily response. And the theme of my work, my ideas, my theories, and how I interpret a lot of clinical syndromes is all about a physiological state as being an intervening variable. So if a person does something, it's not the event. The critical thing is the response that that person has. So a trigger of being yelled at or being criticized or being humiliated in public, is the event is not the critical point. The critical point is that person start having feelings below the diaphragm. Do they feel, do their legs get rubbery? Do they start to pass out? Do they, in a sense, do the body attempt to escape, disappear? And I think that is really the core element of what shame is. And I think because it's a core element of this immobilization response, it's very difficult to deal with from a clinical perspective. It focuses on explicit cognitive functions and voluntary behavior.
Any thoughts on what works to help someone work through shame?
Well, I would again give you the basic principles of what the, in a sense, polyvagal theory tells us about these clinical states. If you can elicit a voluntary behavior, a movement, a breath, a hand movement, a gesture, the use of mobilization inhibits that subdiaphragmatic response. So you're basically, by getting voluntary movement, it could be as simple as asking the client to stand up and sit down, or asking the client to see if they can feel their hands, touch their body. That voluntary movement requires a component of the autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic nervous system, that inhibits the subdiaphragmatic vagal shutting down response. So if we think of working with shame from a neurobiological perspective, and we think of the psychiatric conditions as being derived from common core physiological states, then the therapeutic model should be focused on getting the person out of that state.
As Stephen pointed out, we all have different ways of labeling the feeling of shame, but the physical response is very much the same. In the next video, we'll look at how deep states of shame can link to depression. I'll see you there.